Merciless Gods, written by Christos Tsolkas and read by Humphrey Bauer. At the end of that long day, as they fell into bed exhausted, they both agreed that it had all been worth it, if only for Edward Hopper's early Sunday morning, 1930. "You know," Bill said, cupping Trina's body into his left arm gently curving around her belly, "I've always been a little scared when I finally get to view a painting I've always wanted to see, that it will never be as good as my anticipation of it. But the best paintings never disappoint you, do they?" "Hmm," Trina answered, welcome sleep only moments away.
"That's so true."
His friend, Brendan, had emailed him from Sydney, had written, "Dude, you have to go to the Whitney. It's one of the things you have to do in New York." Their friend, Claire, who had recently returned home after a year in the United States, had told them the Whitney was fabulous. And their rough guide to the city had made special mention of the museum. They had to go to the Whitney. Their first mistake had been to think that they could walk there from their hotel, which was just south of East Houston. Though it was only late May, they had woken to a muggy morning, the light conquering the city's seemingly impenetrable layer of haze to bathe the streets in hues of orange, gold, and yellow. They had foregone breakfast at the hotel in order to find a cafe in Little Italy, but when they got there, they all seemed to be shut. A skinny, blank-faced girl was wiping down a table on Mott Street, but when they went to take a seat, she had shaken her head and said, "Sorry, we're not open till 11. It was a curt, dismissive statement, and it had given him the shits. They had kept walking and ended up in Starbucks. Their croissants were dry and their coffee bland, and he couldn't stop complaining. "You're such a snob," she laughed. "We got rid of Starbucks in Melbourne," he reminded her. "Bully for Melbourne," she laughed again. "We're in New York City. How can you even try to compare it to Melbourne?" She struggled to find an analogy that would do justice to her feelings. It's like comparing a village to a metropolis. That had put him in a sulk. Then, by the time they had reached 23rd and 3rd Avenue, the back of his shirt was damp with sweat. She seemed not to notice the heat, had not slowed her pace to accommodate it. "I think we should take the subway from here," he announced.
"Oh, are you sure?"
She sounded disappointed. "I was so enjoying the walk." He hadn't pushed it, but he quickened his steps, letting her fall behind, so that she had to call out to him to slow down.
"Walk with me, don't run ahead."
He heard it as a whine. "Well, stop dawdling,"